Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California Volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California Volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California Volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.
Yes, g'day and welcome to Club Prairie Fire, the home of tequila, Tabasco and the Duckworth Lewis Stern system. On this wonderful podcast today, the IPL is in full swing. We are seven matches into the 2024 season and already we are seeing just what a cracking season it is going to be. The big names on display have already made their intentions known. Dre Russ, King Coley and Jasprit Bumrah have all come flying out of the blocks. The IPL truly is all the big names crammed into the one tournament. And believe it or not, one of the biggest from the IPL will join us on the podcast today. If you are a Rajasthan Royals fan, if you are a fan of Indian cricket and a fan of all things right arm off spin, then this is about to become your favourite podcast. Now, before I bring this current legend of the game in, I need to introduce our former legends. A man who is celebrating the West Australians' big win in the Sheffield Shield. It's Gilly.
Hello.
Hello. A man who hopefully has been reunited or will be reunited soon with his favourite Mumbai street barber. It's the great man Michael Vaughan. I'm sure he can't wait for that. And a man whose Googling search history is a horrible web of lies. It is Ollie Silverton. How are you, gents?
How are you? Yeah, good. Very good. Very good. Vaughny, you've received your strip from the Cluj boys, I see.
Hey, good afternoon, morning, evening, wherever you are. The professor. We've got two professors on today. Fantastic. What do you reckon?
Looking good, mate. Looking sharp, that. It's a nice strip. Did you get the hoodie as well?
There you go. Name on the back and everything. Now, gents, I do want to catch up with you, but we do have a superstar guest waiting.
Yeah.
Ollie, I'm going to bring you in quickly because your social update today, it actually involves our superstar guest.
Yes, thank you very much, Prof, who has now just disappeared off somewhere. We will hopefully find him later in the show. But we do. We have a very special guest and he has been called for many times as part of the social update. So let me quickly get into it. The good news is the sponsors have brought him. It's NordVPN. They're back for a few episodes. Of course, let me introduce them. With a click of a button, you can access any show or sport from any country in the world with 5,000 plus servers. So if you want to watch the latest action in India with the IPL, where our guest is starring, and you don't have the rights, then NordVPN will sort you out. It's www.nordvpn.com/CPF to get your discount, 4 months extra free, and a gift for free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. And on the socials from Nord, there was only one man for it. We had Rishabh Pant a couple of weeks ago, and then there were loads of requests for players. Everyone's saying Gilly's more powerful than the BCCI, but actually, it's Vaughny who's come through with the guest. We have got Will, I am 2489. Please invite our spin master, Ashwin. And then we've got Please Bring Ravi Ashwin on this podcast. It will be fun by Satya Mishra. And also, Nishil Selsh, Ashwin would be perfect for this podcast. Well, good news. He is here. Welcome. First question. What should we call you? What is the best name you want to be known? Now we're all friends and on this show.
Look, I think it's it's a bit of a regional issue when it comes to India and also with the way how you address people. In our part of the world, we do not have a family name. So Ravi Chandran is my dad and Ashwin is my name. I just have Ashwin as a single name. I'm not rich enough to have many more, but yeah, I'd settle for that. Actually, not Ash, it's fine.
Ash, it's great to have you on the pod. Really pleased you've joined us. It's really good that you know you are the real professor, and you've noticed what's happened here. The professor that's usually on the show, we've kicked him off.
I'm not familiar with the role he plays. If you let me know what role he plays, I would just carry on with it.
Well, he is called the professor because he's obviously a professor of many things, but you are the professor of the spin bowling ability, the ability to bowl spin better than pretty much most around the world these days. The IPL, Ash, it's getting bigger every year, isn't it?
Look, I think the IPL, I mean, no one envisaged the kind of growth that the IPL is finding itself at this point of time, because I still remember one conversation with Scott Stiris when he was at CSK. Both of us were playing for the same team then. And he said, I was playing for the Deccan Chargers and I didn't think the IPL would last for more than 2-3 years because there was a lot of, there's a big flush of money into it. I'm sure Gilly would remember it from those days.
Yep.
But I mean, as a youngster coming into the IPL, I was only looking forward to learning from the big guys. And for me, I didn't think about what the IPL would look like 10 years down the line. But I can comfortably say, having been in it for so many seasons, that the IPL is huge. And sometimes I wonder if it's even cricket, because cricket takes a backstage. It's so huge. And we do end up practicing in advertisement shoots and sets. So that's where the IPL has actually gotten to.
Yeah, Ash, great to see you, mate. Thanks for coming on. Congrats on all your recent success, not just your entire career, but the 500 wickets or 500 plus now, 100 tests. I do remember those early days in the IPL. In fact, I remember a few battles with your good self, and that was enough to see me out of the game once I started having to face off spinners that bowl leg spin and carom balls and everything else as well. You'd knock me over. So that ended my career. So thanks for that. But any new flavours or themes to this year's IPL that seem significantly different to other years? Is there any new trend already? I know it's only early in the tournament, but do you have any different feel to it?
No, look, I think over the years, you would think that the IPL is one tournament which was largely won at the auctions. And I believe the auctions are a very, very important facet of this particular tournament. But the beauty of it is the franchises have evolved into getting their teams right. And there's no one way to skin a cat. So I think they've realized that no one player is bigger than the team and no particular slot is bigger than the other. So they invest wisely. If you miss at the top of the order, they know how to capitalize on the back half. If teams are not able to really stack up a great batting unit with power, they end up going for a good bowling side. So I think teams have learned that art. So teams are really tight. If you look at some of the other competitions that I see around the world, I do follow a bit of them. Once the teams are, you know, at the down, I mean, they probably find themselves 3 losses, 4 losses. The tournament's pretty much done. You don't find a massive resurgence in those sort of teams from down. Here, it's not like that. And anybody can knock on any other team on a particular day. And it's fair to say that teams are pretty strong, and on a particular day, if somebody turns up, you know, you can find yourself from being a favorite to qualifying to actually being on the verge of being knocked out. So that's pretty much how it works. And teams as such, matchups as such, they haven't changed. They continue to be the same. It's just that people who are ready to evolve and create newer options and find more sort of strength through their game are the ones that keep continuing to evolve.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah. Question from me, and as mentioned, Ashwin, you were going to do Professor's job, who seems to pop back in. He does fantastic intros, which I just skip straight over. My job is asking not serious questions, so I'm going to do both now for you. So we have jagged another big one. This time it was Vaughnie. Well done. I think Vaughnie wrote that line. International cricket superstar, you're the firstest cricketer 300 test wickets, and after only 100 tests, you sit ninth all time with the scalps. We're going to talk about the England series because we have to. You can tell from my accent, I'm not best pleased. But the real question, Gilly got pants on a couple of weeks ago because he was his idol for keeping. Am I right in saying Vaughnie got you because that was your off-spinning idol and that's why you've agreed to come on the show?
Great question. Oh, great question, Ollie.
I saw him get Sachin Tendulkar bowled through the gate. Yeah, and that was a huge, huge inspirational point for me. I was contemplating whether I should be a batter who bowled a bit, be a bit of a bits and pieces cricketer, and that really was the deal for me. And it was very impressive. The celebration post that was something I didn't want to capture, but the rest of it was all right.
That's great, Ash. I mean, just on the celebration, is there any chance to tomorrow when you play Delhi, if you get a right-hander out through the gate, is there any chance you can copy that celebration for us?
There are two facets to that, Vani. In an IPL game, the kind of pitches we play on, it's not going to go through the gate. We don't have rough marks, that's for sure. And secondly, I don't think that is a celebration that I can ever repeat. And it's just way beyond my league. And It was more of a surprise, wasn't it, for you? I thought it was a surprise celebration.
it certainly surprised me.
But I would think that if the Jaipur pitch spins like anything like that, and I get somebody through the gate, I would be surprised as well. So you never know.
I reckon it surprised Sachin a little bit more than anyone. That's what I would have thought. Hey, I think you maybe should replicate the celebration of another fine off-spinning delivery in the IPL, one delivered by me. To Harbhajan Singh. I managed to rope him down at Deep Long On. So the Gangnam style's still out there if you want to go with that one, Ash. Hey, that series against England, what a remarkable turnaround after that first test. And as I mentioned, your 100th test match up there in Dharamshala. That's unbelievable, that stat about your bowling figures in your debut test match and your 100th test match. Am I right in saying they're identical?
They are identical for starters, that's a fact. But I find it extremely creepy that it was the same. What are the odds that you'd pick up 9 wickets? I can understand that you would pick up 9. And Jasprit Bumrah didn't think that I deserved a 10th on my 100th test. And he didn't think the ball. I don't think he realized it. But look, I think it was 128 that really stuck out. And what was even better was I made a 6-ball duck in my debut test. And I made a 5-ball duck in this 100 test.
Wow.
So I just missed it by a whisker, and that's even more creepier. So I think someone who believes, I've started believing more in destiny, because somebody who's writing these scripts is surely someone who's creeping me out at this point of time.
Ash, on the series, you know, England made the good start. Ollie Pope played an incredible innings in that first test match. England have got this new approach. We're talking about the Bazball approach a lot on this podcast. How did you find playing against this new England approach?
Fun.
Well, look, I think for starters, I'll talk about the first test. When Ollie Pope went after us, and he was almost pulling off some insane shots, and you could put it down to the fact that it is an approach that England have taken, and you can just say, okay, that's a really bold approach. But sometimes I feel you're playing this format of the game and international cricket on the road for such a long time that you have to draw back to series before. And we played one series against Sri Lanka in 2015. I remember that test match at Galle, and Chandimal did the same thing. He made 175 or something. They were behind the game by 100, and him and Thirumane got into a great partnership. And I remember the same feeling, and that it was a similar feeling. And whatever you did and whatever he played was just connecting, and how much ever you tried, it didn't work. And it was a very similar feeling against Ollie Pope in that particular test match. I remember having dinner with Rohit, Rahul Bhai, and some of the other coaching staff after the game, because I just needed to shell out what I felt after the game. And that was the same sentiment I echoed, because it's not going to be possible to repeat that again and again, unless and until you had a methodical construction of an innings. I didn't think it was methodical in terms of an innings being constructed. He was smart. He got away with something, and then he put his head to the game, and, you know, he killed us on the day 4 morning, like literally changing his approach, playing singles, and they had 100 in partnership. And I just felt like the only issue with such a game at the start of a series is that you need to start clawing your way back into the series, because somebody, a team that's visiting you, has got the momentum. And they're 1-0 up, and all they need to do is start well in the next test, which they did. They knocked us over for 390-odd, and they had like 2 or 3 wickets in the first session. So climbing the ladder up from down in the pecking order and just climbing it slowly can be really hard. I just felt England could have shut us down in that particular test match. It was a really good pitch to bat on. I personally, if I was England, I would have looked to chase down 400 because that ground and that pitch was pretty good to bat on. And I think they just shelled another opportunity in the brand of cricket they wanted to play. Imagine Joe Root buckling down in that particular test match. And once, you know, you sort of sense that blood and you've got enough arsenal in the bowling attack. After being one all at Vizag, I think it was always going to be uphill for England to come back.
Yeah. So Ash, I wanted to ask you, in Australia, we observe Bazball. We find it pretty funny. Well, often I'll ring Gilly and we'll have a good old laugh about Bazball. Obviously, you leading wicket taker in that series, 26 wickets. I'm assuming that looking forward, you would like England to play Bazball for the rest of eternity. Is this something you'd like to encourage the English team to do?
Look, I think I've got a couple of Test cricket legends sitting on the same podcast with me, and I'm sure they would agree with what I'm going to say just right now. You can play any brand of cricket. You can have your game plan. You can do whatever you want. There is that freedom to do it. Gilly pretty much did it through his career, and we're seeing Rishabh also doing it. But the fact of the matter is, if a group of people, like 11 cricketers together, want to embrace the same pattern of play, I personally think that's huge. That's a huge risk you're taking getting into a series, especially a long series. Because tomorrow, if England has to play in Australia and Zach Crawley wants to, you know, just play the same way, I personally think Zach Crawley has got the game to do what he's doing. He's got a lovely bat swing. He's got a lovely downswing. Plays down the ground nicely. Beautiful driver of the ball. Doesn't really fancy playing square of the pitch. And if Ben Duckett wants to stick onto it, he does because he doesn't have a great defense. I can understand that. But I just wouldn't be able to understand somebody as good and as effective as Joe Root is to be able to. I know he's pulled off a couple of reverse sweeps on the morning of day two and day three in the Ashes. But when the test match is in balance and you're on an away tour, if you lose two, bang, bang, that could mean the test match is done. And you're not in familiar territory either. So it's a bit dicey, but if it's a way of... I actually think the marketing of them reviving test cricket and saving it is a bit funny. I personally think that, which I think is a marketing jargon. But personally, if you ask me, I think they played some wonderful, wonderful cricket. I was... completely, the scoreline might reflect 4-1, but I thought they played some wonderful cricket. Just striking the balance. When you have the opposition on the mat, you better keep them down there. We did find ourselves on the mat many a times, but I just think they didn't put the coffin very, they didn't put the nail very deep into the coffin at those stages.
Yeah, we have other descriptive words for Bazball down in Australia and the marketing of it and the fact that they are saving the game. But we don't need to go. We've already
saving the planet, Gilly.
Yeah, I know. It's good marketing, good PR. But I do think we've spent far too long on that series already, given that, I mean, we saw in the World Cup, they're a minnow nation. They barely won a game in the World Cup. They languish down the bottom of the World Test Championship. And you know, Ash, Australia and India only deal at the top end of these tables. So let's move our eyes forward a little bit. The schedule for the Australian summer, a big five test summer for you boys to come down to Australia next Aussie summer. What did you make of the schedule? It starts in Brisbane. Have you even had a chance to have a look at that schedule? I know the IPL's up and running. Do you cast your mind forward? Because wonderful memories on your last tour here, mate.
Yeah, I think it was a very memorable test tour for us last time when we visited there. And I know knowing the Australian cricket team and how competitive they are, they'd be waiting for us to come there and probably they want to start at the Gabba this time. They were welcoming us the last time to the Gabba to see how things were going to be different. Look, I think any tour to Australia is very exciting. It's also about the crowd. You get some wonderful crowd, just like how you get in England. It's going to be houseful. And yes, I did take a look at the schedule. Looking forward to the approach that the Australians are going to take. Stephen Smith's opening the batting. David Warner's not there. There is a little bit of, you know, reshuffling in the batting order and the team in Australia per se. The three quick bowlers and Nathan Lyon have been a constant for the last decade or so. That's a lot of experience they're getting. They're going to get into on that tour. We are going to have a bit of inexperience as well in our side. But I do think that cricketers coming through the ranks in India at this point of time are really good players of fast bowlers. So without much of lateral movement, which you don't expect in Australia, and if the pitches aren't going to be very green, I think it's going to be a high-scoring series.
Just on, you mentioned your players are good at facing quick bowling. One of my favourites is Yasiswi Jaiswal. What a player and what a series he's just had. And what an 18 months he's had kind of arriving onto the scene, into the IPL and now into international cricket. How do you think he's going to fare down under?
Look, I think it's this is one part of the narrative I genuinely laugh at most of the times, because in India as well, you have a lot of experts who say there's somebody who's burst on the scene. Hey, but you know what? Let's hang on. Let's wait and see how they do in Australia, how they do in South Africa, how they do in England. I find that ridiculously funny, because unless and until you want somebody to fail, you wouldn't say something like that. You're looking forward to somebody failing. But the beauty of international cricket, and Vaughan and Gilly, you might know about this, and I'm again echoing it. It's the experience, right? And life is all about experiencing new things, and it is going to be challenging. And that's the whole point of traveling somewhere and, you know, wanting to get on top of it. Because at the end of the day, the attitude of a cricketer is to conquer everything. And that's the attitude that gets you to the top of the pecking line. And somebody like a Yashasvi is a natural, gifted ball striker. He's somebody who's, whatever he's touched has turned to gold. But I'm sure down the line, he is going to get the opportunity to fail and also see what it takes to succeed. And that's the wonderful nature of our great game. And I think in Australia, or wherever it is, Yashasvi has the tools to be successful. But he also is going to go through the journey of learning something valuable. He will have failures and he'll learn the valuable lessons. And once he learns those valuable lessons, I believe he's going to be double the player that he is right now. So for me, it's too premature to say how he will go there and what he's going to look like when he gets there. But one thing's for certain, he's going to get some valuable experience. Whether he's going to be successful scoring the same buckets of runs that he's been scoring, only time will tell. I really wish that he does, but if he doesn't, I think those experiences are going to teach him valuable lessons, which is going to be even more worthy for Indian cricket, so that he gets a better player. He becomes a better player.
Yeah. Ash, I read today, I think the first test is in Perth. Yeah. Is that correct, guys? So I guess that'll be fun for Jaiswal, if that's the first pitch that he walks out onto without three fast bowlers.
Or if you want to play Cameron Green, and if you choose to leave out Nathan Lyon and make it five on a green seamer, it makes it even better. Look, I think Perth on day one generally tends to start off slow, and that's why I think Australia always wins the toss and bats first at Perth. I think they do that all the time. But what doesn't change is people are not really struggling for pace. You will not find an Indian travelling side that's coming into Australia and, you know, struggling for pace. They might get a hit, a couple hit on the helmet because the wicket quickens up on day two and day three. But I think gone are those times when people are surprised. The cricketers that I'm seeing that are coming through over the last decade or two are those ones who want to be hit on the head and take it on. And that's simply why you find Indian teams traveling abroad have produced better results. We had literally half the experience that South Africa had when we played that test match at Centurion. Like, so many guys were playing in South Africa for the first time. We got hammered at Centurion. But in Cape Town, we were able to pull things back. It's the belief, and of course, it's the raw ability, and also not taking a backward step. And these guys do have it. And make no mistake, over the last two decades, the kind of test cricket we wanted to play and the kind of things that we've had to say has definitely had a bearing on that. And the belief, it is a new nation, and it's striding in the right direction. And people are a very small sample size of what the nation's looking like. So when the nation's striding forward, I think people also tend to take the nation forward with them.
Yeah, I mean, Ash, you've obviously won there the last two times that you've been down under, and obviously England having won the Ashes last year, morally, you must feel that Australia are there for the taking.
Nah, definitely not, Bonnie. Any overseas tour comes with a lot of challenges. Look, I think you want to stay in the contest all the time. You might not begin a series very well. You still need to be able to dig into that mental resolve to come back, the know-how of conditions. But the one thing about Australia, I would say, is we've, like in England, is that all these venues are standard when we've come there. We play one at Melbourne, we play one at Adelaide, we play one at Sydney. We know what to expect at Perth. Sometimes it can be challenging if you're... Look, I think this part of it, Indian cricket, doesn't do as well as it must, in a way that we don't welcome you to conditions that are extremely hard. And that's exactly what Australia are trying to do. They're putting us at Perth first up because the change of pace is going to be different. And look, I think we will go into that series with the best possible intent. And they're doing all it takes to start out the series pretty well. So you'd never take an Australian team lightly, and that's because of the kind of experience they're going to have. Their bowling attack would probably have 500 tests between them, and we might not have that sort of experience. But still, I think the belief to say that we will take them on is going to be pretty high.
Yeah, I think you'll be very competitive. You mentioned Steve Smith at the top of the order. How do you view that as an opponent? Is that an earlier opportunity, a better opportunity to get a great player out, or do you think he's got the game to settle at the top there?
Look, I think Stephen Smith is a fantastic player. We all know that. And sometimes we end up making the mistake of comparing him to his own benchmarks, which can be tricky. Okay. He's how many people in the cricketing circle would make such a move at such a late stage of their career to say, okay, you know what, I'm 100 tests old, but I'm okay to open the batting. That I find very exciting. He's embraced that and he's gone up there. And I'm sure if you talk to him, he will have his reasons to why he wants to do it. Maybe he just wants to get going. Maybe he thinks it's a great start for him. People will bowl the channel areas. He can, you know, settle in and then cash in big. I do not know the internal reasoning that's going on between his head, between his ears. But for me, I look at that as an opportunity, like you should. Any opening batsman will have challenges facing up to good quality bowling. Jasprit Bumrah will start off. Stephen Smith will have to take on the new ball. You knock somebody like him over, and then you get Manas in early, and you've got a middle order that you can, you know, try to chip away. Travis Head's had a great couple of years, but still, you would like to chip at that. But I'm amazed at Stephen Smith's courage and also his want to evolve and become excellent at this stage of his career. It's amazing to see.
Indeed.
Absolutely. On that, Ashwin, a touch earlier, Vaughan mentioned you won the last few series. 2019 was a big year for you. 18-19, you won that series. But a couple of other things in my deep dive of research I found on you, I just want to touch on. So Vaughan has a theory. You can't be a great, because we all said we've got the great Ashwin on. It's going to be fantastic. But Vaughan says you can't be a great unless you've got 100 on a wet Tuesday night in Scarborough. Now, in 2019, you signed for Nottinghamshire. And the article reads, this year, though, he will miss the trip with his new county to Scarborough to face Yorkshire due to international commitments with India. But comes back for Kent, Warwickshire and Surrey for Nottinghamshire in the final three matches. So that already is tough. I'm sure you will do well in Scarborough. But what you are a great at is social media. Lots of articles on this. And I don't know if you know, but 5 years to the day, pretty much, 2019, you said somebody reminded me this was a year ago as you went for a man cad to the lovely Joss Butler. You shared the picture and said, don't wander out, stay inside, which is, that's the picture. And that is which went viral. Tell me about your social media game, because I'm trying to learn and you seem to do fantastic.
Look, I think there used to be this perception that I was very, very serious and very, you know, very analytical all the time, which is on the contrary. Because somebody said, I first took up to YouTube, I first took up to Instagram, and then I was having my fun. And whatever I say on Twitter, I absolutely love Twitter because there's a lot of banter. If you can take this criticism, if you can take a little bit of banter, it's amazing. But if you can't, that's not a place for you. But for me, when I started to do it, people read these from the point of being an analytical person or a serious person. And then one fine day, I was in a meet and greet, and a person said, "Sir, you're so funny. We always thought you were serious, and you were gonna be angry. You know, why did you make that impression?" He said, "No, on the field, you're always thinking, you're always serious, you're not laughing." I said, "I'm playing the IPL, and that's the only tournament most of you see, and I'm getting plonked for sixes. And you expect me to keep smiling and dishing out buffet balls? That's what I'm supposed to do. I do what it takes to succeed in life. But that doesn't mean I come back to the room, think about the sixes and be fretting about it and be serious all the time. I'm actually, the game has taken away a lot of my personality, if you know what I mean. India is a country where cricketers are absolutely adored, but it also comes with its negatives. You do not you have to sacrifice some of your personal life and personal character because you're constantly worried. I'd love to have a laugh in the middle of a hotel reception lobby or something, and you know, break into a laughter when there is a joke being said. But I can't do it because there are 100 people there standing and watching you. And they would probably think, oh, who is this mad guy? Why is he behaving like this? But it's for a normal person. If they did it, it'll be fine. Thankfully enough, I've stayed organic to who I am. And I do it now. And I say, okay, to hell with who thinks what they have to think. I am who I am. And it is an effort by itself. But coming back to that social media game, I still remember after running out Joss at the non-striker's end, my team was, you know, they were flabbergasted. They were just looking at one another because I was the captain for the game. They were just looking at me and I just called them into a huddle and said, you know what? Cricket is a game where people are mostly afraid of being uncomfortable, okay? And now, Joss is uncomfortable. He's gone there, you know, talking, you know, he's just probably bashing me inside the dressing room. But now I know Joss. He won't do it. He's too nice a guy. But I know the people are going to be angry. And anger brings about a lot of mental outbreak and they're not going to think straight. So it's a great opportunity. They were cruising the game and they still were cruising the game. So I told them, whatever it is, I will take the media on. I will handle it because it's my job. Let's now win this game because it's a great opportunity to win this game. And I do what it takes to win. And for me, nothing else matters. And once the game is done, I've got a white line syndrome like Ricky Ponting does. Once the game is done, I'm just fine. And
you got the win.
Sorry?
Did you get the win?
Yeah, we won. We won. 4 overs, 45 to get for RR and RR lost the game. And I tell you what, Mani, if you put 9 out of 10 cricketers, or maybe anybody, it's wrong to say cricketers, if you pull them away from their comfort zone, you're going to win most of the battle.
And now Joss is your teammate, right? Did you bring it up when you joined team together?
Joss is never going to say that's the right thing to do. Nobody's going to. Look, I think when that happened, there were a lot of people who came out and, you know, they were talking about being this. Everybody becomes a saint at that point of time, and they say, yeah. No, we wouldn't do it. No, I wouldn't do it. Yeah. It looks like it's a criminal act because people want to hide. It's the popular thing to do. It always takes. Mm. It is always easy to do the popular thing. It's always tough to do the right thing that you believe is right. I firmly believe that people started becoming saints. They said, I wouldn't do it. But there will come a time in this game, maybe 10 years down the line, maybe tomorrow, maybe day after, we don't know, where somebody will need 2 runs of the last ball and you find the non-striker down the striker's end and you would say, hey, you know what? I committed way too early. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And mind you, once this generation of cricketers are going to walk away from the game, the next generation, like the Fraser Megards, are not going to care. They're going to run people out.
Totally. Mate, you're reminding me of the scenes at Lord's in the Ashes, mate. Yeah, that's right. All the high and mighty people who do everything right. Yeah, but sorry, Vaughan, you were going to say something?
First and foremost, because England, we didn't create the man card, that's why we don't really talk too much about it. If we'd have done it first, we'd have been all over it. Ash, you're a student of the game. You know, you're involved in the IPL. You've been playing international cricket for many, many years. How's cricket going to look like in 5 to 10 years' time? Where is it heading?
I've got no clue, Vaughan, because I was seeing Fraser Megard bat yesterday. The first ball somebody bowled, he put his feet down and clonked it over deep mid-wicket. He didn't get it. He got a thick inside edge. And you would think, okay, let me settle into this wicket at Jaipur. No, the next ball, he just cleared his left foot and hit it over extra cover, skewed it over third man for a boundary again. I thought, okay, he's going to try and block one or probably, you know, look for a single. He went inside and flipped the next one over, short fine leg. And I'm like, ooh, that's quite scary, man. I mean, it takes a lot of bravado. It takes a lot of courage to be doing it. But I think times are changing and people are changing. And you find Rishabh Pant, you find Baz Ball now, you find so many other things happening. You don't know where it's headed. And it's the one thing I can safely say, though, is whatever happens, people playing the game are going to drive it in a certain direction. People on the outside need to understand that this is where the game is headed, rather than actually saying, you know what, when we played, this is how it looked. Mm. And this is the right thing to do. And sometimes I find people who play the game evolve faster than people who are watching it and talking about it. And if we do embrace the fact that they are going to go in this direction and take it along, the next generation is going to accept us. But if we don't, if we want to sit on a high horse and talk about what we are doing and not ready to adapt with them, it's going to be a hard one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, Ash, we have kept you far too long here. Thank you so much for sticking around and putting up with all our technical difficulties. I'm sure it doesn't happen to you on your YouTube channel.
Can I just bring something up about the technical problems that we've had today? Is there any link between us all having technical problems? Because Ollie's in charge of the technicalities of the show, and it's on the back of him having a girlfriend that we seem to be losing a little bit of that ability to connect.
Absolutely. Standards have slipped a little bit.
Is that correct, Ollie? Are you spending a little bit more time with your girlfriend and not on the show?
My camera and mic have been great throughout. Thank you, Vaughny. And I got the timings right with the world clock as well. So thank you for that.
So, Ash, we will let you go. If you do have a decent producer, just send through a resume and we'll take a look at it. And, doesn't matter who
I've got a few options for guests too, if you need.
Oh,
brilliant.
Yes.
We'll take them. We'll deal with them offline, but we're open for offers.
And when you watch this back, we always end with a quiz, which will be all about you, so you can see who wins, Gilly or Vaughny. Thank you very much. Gilly, do you want to do your usual cheers?
Thank you.
I'll save our toast for later in the show, but we will say a massive thank you, mate. Congrats on everything, all your success. And Vaughny's heading out, I think, in the next few days to India. I'll be out there
Friday.
So we'll look forward to seeing you dig in again in this IPL, mate. It's been tremendous. Take care.
Thank you, Gilly. Thank you, everyone.
Well, there we go. The great man.
Yeah.
Chandran Ashwin. Hey, sorry I dipped out for a while there. My computer shat itself. What did I miss?
Oh, mate, what a legend. He, as you say, Ollie, he did avoid Scarborough.
Yeah. So
interesting thing to bring up, to literally tell a guest on air that he's not considered a great of the game.
Yeah. I've warned you.
That's a very interesting interview technique. But you could talk to him for about 3 hours, couldn't you? Interesting dude.
Yeah, he is. He is the real professor. I know you think you are professor, but you know he is the real student professor of the game. I was amazed he didn't ask me about my shirt, but you know there you go.
Yeah, well, let's get to that. That's the fine looking strip, isn't it?
Yeah, there we go. The Cluj European League shirt. Look at the back. Let me just turn around. Can you see it?
Oh, we got it. Yeah.
$4.99 on the back. Delight. It's a bit tight, I must admit. A bit of a spray on. Yeah, delighted when it came through. I've also got the polo shirt. I've got the club polo shirt here as well.
Has it got the... Oh, yeah, there's a Prairie Fire there.
There it is.
Yeah. Ashwin 99 as well, isn't he? So he has copied you. He's absolutely copied
you. Yeah, he has copied me.
Why did you go 99?
Oh, I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea. I think it was the only kind of funky number that was available. I wanted 50. Right. I wanted 69, obviously. That had gone. And obviously 99 was the next kind of cool one.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, Gilly, I don't really recollect my ODI career that much.
That fateful day in Barbados.
Yeah, I don't really. I honestly, my ODI career, I had a great time. What a laugh I had. I mean, I was pretty much out most of the time, both on and off the pitch.
Hey, do you remember playing against Ashwin?
Do I remember? Yeah. Horrible.
Horrible? How many times do you reckon he got you out?
I reckon, off the top of my head, so didn't play international cricket against him. It was just the end of me in the IPL and the start of him, so probably 3 or 4 seasons. He knocked me over at least 3 times, I reckon. And I just didn't like facing him. He was too good.
I don't think there's many that do, Gilly. I think he's one of those bowlers. He's a bit like the King, the late great Shane Warne, Murralitharan, those kind of bowlers. If they get you early, and most of them are England, Australia, you're playing them over 5 matches. If a bowler like that gets you in the first test once or twice, you're knackered.
Yeah.
you're absolutely good. You can't sleep. You can't say. I had that a bit about Murali away from home in Sri Lanka. He gets you once, you're knackered.
Did you, Vaughny, did you pick Murali? Could you pick Murali?
No.
No, same. No. And that's what I found with Ashwin, like out of the hand. I was terrible at picking bowlers, particularly finger spinners out of the hand. So therefore, you've got no idea what the ball's going to do. So it made you feel like you're under 10s playing with the seniors and you were just guessing.
Yeah. Hey,
just on Murray, I remember Kevin Peterson coming into the team and we're playing him, I think it's 2006. And as you do in a team meeting, the coach at the time, Duncan Fletcher, he got the big screen up and he was showing us Murray's action about all the different deliveries front on from that, you know, so you get a real visualization of what you're going to be facing the next. I think it was on the Tuesday before we started on the Thursday. And anyway, it's 5 minutes in and he's presented the off spinner, which looks exactly the same as the Dusra, which looks exactly the same as the top spinner. But he's there showing us all these screens. After about 5 minutes, KP put his hand up. He went, "Coach, can I say something?" And he went, "Yes, Kev." And he went, "He's only a fucking spinner." So we all like looked at Kev Carr, "You haven't faced him yet." I kid you not, on the Thursday, I think he strolled out at number four. I got my usual 30, got out. He went out there. And I think his fourth or fifth ball, he danced down to Murray, hit him out of Birmingham, straight over his head. It was that day that he created that reverse switch it.
Yeah.
And he switched it him into the Holly stand. He got about 120 odd. He walked off and we're all kind of not looking at him as he came off. And as he walked past, he went, "Fucking told you." Oh, Peterson at his best. Loved it.
We're talking variations. Yes, Ravi Chandranathan is one of the greats with them. I wanted to ask him about that, but I'll have to go to you, Vaughan, as you are his idol for getting out Tendulkar, as we saw. Can you just go through the differences and how you bowled each of them? Because there's the off-break, the arm ball, the carom ball, the Sudoku, there's the new one, then he had the leg breaks and googly. So what do you do when you bowl them? Yeah,
it's not, you know, it's not as difficult as the modern player makes it out to be. You pretty much bowl the off spinner like that, over spinner like that, cannonball like that, leg spinner like that, and the Zuko.
The Zuko
ball. You just do that. Just bring it out like that. I mean, it's not that difficult.
Just give it a little flick.
Yeah, you just flick here and there. You just change your wrists, you know, and your angle of attack in terms. You can also break the wrist down and just bowl a bit of a skimmer. A Darren Lehman, I call it, the Darren Lehman buffer, no bouncer.
The buffer. What was your build-up to Sachin? Was it a little sort of body of work of a few overs?
Yeah, good question, Gilly. I mean, you've got to build up to this moment. I threw a few out wide and got hit for four a few times.
So you spent a few?
a couple of half trackers just to get him thinking that I didn't have it in me to bowl that ball. You know, he put me into the stands a couple of times. Yeah, that's obviously all part of the plan. And then there was the ball before, actually. I bowled it out wide and he drove me through the covers for four. And he just gave me that little glare that he thought he had me. So that next one, I just dropped it back a bit. Just pulled in the, you send out the line, don't you? And then you just bring it back in a little bit. Just brought it back in a bit, caught the edge of the rough. And, you know, as they say, the rest is history. But it was a build-up of, I would say, over the course of three or four overs, I probably bowled him six or seven pies just to get him relaxed. His mind never thought that ball could be bowled, but it was all about the four overs of pies before it.
I reckon that's the first ever where a bowler has described getting Sachin Tendulkar out like just simply fly fishing. As simple as that. Yeah. Throw the lure out there and then drag it back a bit.
Yeah. And do you think you got in his head, Vaughan? Do you think he, like Murali with you, that night tossing and turning?
Well, he was in the 90s, pro. He was scared, obviously, in the 90s.
Yep.
I think when I came on to bowl, he was probably in the 40s.
And it was a three-over spell.
Got there pretty quickly. But, yeah, I think I got into his mind. Yeah, it's not easy facing world-class off-spin, is it?
No. Shit, no.
Now, are you pumped for your trip to India, Vaughan? Have you packed your bag?
Yeah, bag's packed. Looking forward to it. Be there Saturday, go straight to the Cricbus studio, Gil, straight in. I think I land at 1, I'll be there at 4, straight into the game. I'll be down in Mumbai. I'll go and see my mate Dan and Jar, get my hair done, have a shave. Not gonna shave now till Friday to make sure there's plenty there for him to go at. Hope he's got a few new razors. he's got some new spray. Yeah, and then I'll have a bit of paddle tennis, bit of ice bathing. The pool where we stay, Gilly, you get in the pool and all the teams will be there. They'll be, you'll meet some of these younger players. They're great fun just sitting and having a chat. Nice bar behind the hotel, Gilly, called The Social. If you want to have a nice cold one or two, that's always nice. Massage place next door to that's excellent. Mm-hmm. And it's not what it obviously sounds like. Nice Thai massage, but 2-on-1 you get.
Sorry, mate.
You get 2-on-1 in there. It's good.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like Barry Manilow.
Are you Gilly? Yeah. Are you replacing Vorni? So is it?
Yeah, it, mate. We pretty much tag team out. Like as he's flying out, I'm flying in, and I do we change shifts, and then. And then I think Vorni's going back. You're going back for another little dabble later on, aren't you?
Yeah, I go back later on, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, Gil, on the Crick Buzz set, you're going to love it because you literally can order any food you want. from the whole of Mumbai, they obviously have Deliveroo or Uber Eats there, and you can get anything. It's magnificent. I mean, the show's great. It's good to talk about the cricket, but I'll be totally honest with you, the food's probably the best part of it.
But you, Gilly, you don't want... you don't want Vorni to do too well on there if you're following him in, right? You want him to make a few errors, maybe swear a couple of times on edge. Oh, thank God Vorni's gone. Gilly's here. Because if he absolutely...
Hey, Gilly, are you going to go for the Indian-style look? With the Indian jacket on, or are you going to go kind of normal Aussie look?
I think I'll stay to my traditional look, my own... Yeah. Personal one, but what about because they don't provide any of that stuff, do they? I saw Dooley in it.
Yeah, I have a couple there. I've left there for the last 4 years, and I'll wear them again. Right. I have a couple of little jackets. The makeup artist's interesting. Gilly, get ready for him. He's quite a character,
right?
He kind of splats it on your face.
I mean, like a blowhard painting.
Yeah, and if I tell you that he uses a paintbrush,
might need a spray tan, spray gun to get my ears covered.
Yeah, just watch out for the paintbrush.
We've obviously chatted to Ash for a while. Is there any other cricket you wanted to cover before we get Ollie to do his quiz? Ollie, you got something for us?
I've got a little bit we need to pick up there before the quiz. The first one, I just did a little deep dive into that Tendulkar wicket. Not only, Vorni, were you man of the match in that test match, but actually you've been harsh on yourself there. So you're 197, 2 for 71. You bowled 18 balls to Sachin in that innings and only went for 7 runs, just 1-4.
On every other occasion that I bowled a load of pies. I must have got a few straight on that occasion.
and the other thing to pick up, which again, somehow Vorni has nailed, we're talking uniforms, you're in Cluj, it's ECL. Hornychurch they offered a guest. I've said we've got Ravi Chandran and Ashwin, which I don't know if they were happy about. But Vorni, congratulations.
Yeah, so the Hornychurches are a good side. I've heard about them in the UK, so I knew they were going to go there with a strong set of players, a great mindset. I know they'd be on the piss as well, so that's always a good preparation for that kind of tournament. The IPL is big, but the European Cricket League is now bigger.
I think so.
It's going to grow year in, year out. Can't wait to go down there. When's the next one, Ollie? Say, is it October or is it next year?
September, October for the international version.
Yeah.
Did you see the club prez or the chairman for the Hornychurch? He did the pitch invasion when they won.
Did he get on?
Mate, he was wearing a hell of a strip too. He had some crazy gear on, so I might try and get onto his tailor and get one of his suits made up for our Crick Buzz stuff. But Hornychurch.
But I tell you what, there's a little bit about going back to your roots in sport. Last night I went to watch a team called Aston United play Macclesfield Town in the. I have no idea what the league is that they're in. Oh, it was comedy gold. It was old school. The pitch was like a farmer's field. I mean, I had to queue up in the first half. I had to queue up for 25 minutes while I could still watch the game for my pie and chips and gravy, which came to me for £2.50. There was a keeper sent off. There was a fight on the touchline right in front of us.
Oh, it was
brilliant. A back to roots kind of football sport. That reminds you know the chairmen and the presidents of these clubs they properly live and breathe these sporting clubs. These amateur. Yep. I mean, I think you know last night was a semi pro game, so some of the players were obviously getting. I think all of them get a few quid, but some are on quite a lot of money. But going back to what sport's all about, just rough and ready. You know, load of volunteers. You know, to be honest, last night, they obviously don't have a grounds person because fucking hell, what a quagmire that was.
The covers off.
Right. Nah, you're right.
Oh, yeah. But I love it. I love seeing all that. I love seeing presidents and chairmen getting involved, running on. Brilliant.
Nah, they are the lifeblood of sport, aren't they? And, it's a bit of a step up from games like the IPL to that level sort of sport. But on the IPL, very quickly, I know we've got to get to the quiz and we've got to wind it up, but good selection, Prof, on who's going to be the leading wicket taker, I thought, by you last week.
Hey, mate, if we're going to go with again? Here, old Mitchie Stark got, what was he, none for 53? Yeah,
none for 53 or something like that. He was my pick, but at least my bloke's in the tournament.
Oh, I know. Can he come back later on or not? What's happened here? Has he pulled out of the whole thing?
Nah, he's at home, mate. He's at home, Zamps.
Let's just go through a few of those. So, Gilly, you went leading wicket taker. Who did you go for?
Mitchell Stark. He went none for 50-odd in his first outing.
Yeah, I think. Who did you go, Ollie?
I went Curran, Sam Reece Curran.
Topley, did
Sam Curran, yeah. Curran.
Has he got a wicket? I saw him get dispatched by DK.
Yeah, that's a good outing with the stick.
That doesn't matter. That's fine. No, I know you're right up. You're doing well. Kuljeep Yadav in 10th place on the orange cap, isn't it, I think? That's having a look at there.
Yeah, and Virat's made a nice start with the bat in hand.
Yeah, it's an impressive start from you. You know,
yeah, he's right with Virat. So, who was your batter, Gilly?
Who did I go for?
You went
Yasser. You went Jaiswal.
Yeah, Jaiswal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's had a struggle. Yeah, he hasn't creamed him yet. But
has Rishabh made any runs? I went for.
He got about a dozen or so in his first hit out, didn't he? 19 or so.
He's
a couple of nice shots.
Sam Curran's actually second.
What about the team?
That's important.
Yeah, what teams do we go for? I went Mumbai there in eighth position, but they play. I think they play today. Did anyone go for Chennai?
Oh, I had him in their top four, but I went with my heart and went back to Hyderabad. The team that sacked me after 3 years. For some reason, I went back to them. But
They had a good loss.
CSK looked good, though.
I went Royal Challengers Bangalore. So they're one and two.
They're in fifth, and I'm in fourth with Kings 11 Punjab.
None of us. I'd say your nose is in front, Vaughny, if we put all top. Pull all of that.
I think in terms of the runs and the wickets, I might have my noses. Mumbai lost the first game. Hardik Pandya didn't quite get him over the line, did he? Disappointed. But they always start slow, Mumbai. It's almost part of the IPL that Mumbai starts slow and then they win seven on the trot at the end and end up winning it. That's what they do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll check in each week. I technically switched to Moeen Ali. So
he's not played.
He's not in that team.
You can
he's
have
in
him.
India. I literally just looked it up.
At least he's in the country.
Yeah, that's a good effort. That at least you've picked one player that's actually in the right country.
Yeah,
which is a good start, Professor.
Yeah.
By the way. If you were Harsha Bogla, you'd be shaking in your boots with Ashwin about to retire because he is going to make one hell of a broadcaster.
Oh, is he?
Holy jeez.
Hey, his YouTube show's good. You know, if you watch it, it's a good show. Very, very good show. He's, he asks all the hard questions, but he gets deep into the mind of the person that he's interviewing. He's, absolutely Harsha. I mean, we like Harsha, love him. But he's on his last legs, isn't he? Let's be honest. Once Ash comes through, that's him done.
Ollie, hold up that card, will you?
I know.
I'm only joking, Ash. I love you.
when you go
Ashley's good. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was asking him, he has 1.5 million subscribers.
Yeah. Mm.
So we will deck you out head to toe in Club Prairie Fire. We'll get your hat, we'll get your shirt, we'll get you a banner, just so we can steal a few of those subscribers.
Mm.
Yeah, he's currently doing it, and there are 11,000 people watching live, and the comments are going nuts. I can see that right now. Ah,
beautiful. There we should do the quiz on him.
Let's do it right now.
Yeah, let's do a quiz. I've got breakfast to go to.
Okay, question number one. It's higher or lower again. It's a classic. Everyone knows this format well. What is higher? Ash's runs conceded in tests or Gilly and Vaughan's combined test runs?
Ash's runs is conceded in tests. So he's got 500 wickets. Oh, six, though.
It's a great question.
How many runs do you go for a test? 106. There we go.
Is he bowling to England or?
No, I reckon our runs combined.
It's higher, Gilly. Maybe. What do you think?
No, I reckon the runs conceded.
Okay, higher. So combined, you're 11,289. He is 12,225.
God.
One to Gilly.
He goes around the park a bit, doesn't he?
Expensive. Okay. Number two. What is higher? Vaughan's ODI batting average, we touched on that earlier, or Ashwin's T20 bowling average? Thinking IPL, not internationals.
I'm going to go Ashwin's bowling average.
I'm going to go the batting average.
For Vaughan. Vaughan's ODI batting average, 27.15.
Oh.
Ash's bowling average of T20, 25.92. 2-0, Gilly.
Oh, really? Jeez, that's good.
That is so good. Under 20.
I did have you in the 30s, though, Vaughan.
No,
did you hear about his whole ODI career 3 minutes ago? That's probably why. Yeah. We'll go to number three. It'll be a great comeback here. Number three. What is lower? Gilly's ODI 50s, Ash's first class 5-wicket hauls, or Vaughan's test strike rate? Lower.
He's got to have more than 50. What's the lowest?
Yeah, lowest.
I reckon rolling with my 50s.
Your 50s.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go the same as you. I'm going to go his... your 50s. In ODIs?
ODIs versus first class 5-week hauls versus your strike rate.
I'm going to go Ash.
Ash's first class wickets, 5-wicket hauls.
That means he's not right.
55. Gilly's ODI 50s, 55. The tie. Vaughan's strike rate in test, 51.13. No points for anyone.
Jeez, that's good. That is good, 51.
Ooh. It is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, 3 and over. Thank you. A number four. What is higher? Mr. Ashwin's test runs or Gilly's?
Oh, all right. What's he got? 500s? How many test runs?
Yeah. What was that question? Ashwin's test runs over Gilly's test runs.
Oh, yeah, I've read that wrong. No, Ashwin's first class runs. Ash's first class runs.
Yes.
Gilly's, yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah, okay.
Jesus, versus that's good. A bit of a dip at Gilly there, but...
Yeah.
I'm going to go... Ashwin's first class runs. I reckon he probably got triple hundreds back in the day.
We're looking for the higher number here, are we?
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah. I'll go me.
Gilly, 5,570. Ash, 5,000. 221, 3-0 Gilly.
Oh, this is the one.
It is.
Highest score.
Tough to claim anything moral out of this.
124 is highest score. If he had got a triple century, he would have overtaken Gilly pretty much. So that's where he's
right. Yeah. Right. Might have been juniors.
And the final one, what is higher, Gilly's test centuries, Fawney's ODI wickets, or Ash's clubs on Crick Info?
What was it? My centuries.
Vaughan's ODI wickets. Vaughan's ODI wickets.
Yeah.
And then Ash's clubs on Crick Info.
Ash's what? Clubs?
Like listed.
Oh, is it the clubs he's played for? Well, he's played for a couple of counties, I think.
Played for five IPLs.
I reckon his clubs. Ashwin's clubs.
Yeah, I reckon just his clubs, because I reckon they name things like India Blue and stuff like that in there. So
Yes, so it's 18 test centuries for Gilly, 16 ODI wickets for Vaughan, and 20 clubs for Ashley there on Crick Info. Yeah, so you're on the board, Vaughan.
The best thing about that answer I like is I reckon you've given me – I've scored an extra test century somewhere there.
That's kind of your Ollie.
Oh, really?
VAT.
Yeah.
Ollie, obviously, you've gone to parts. What is this girlfriend
doing? Oh, mate. She scrambled your mind.
I had some good research on his 2019 stuff. It was just, it's tough.
Focus.
I don't think you're taking this podcast seriously, Ollie.
I know what happened. I read Vaughan's centuries because I just wanted Gilly to realise, Vaughan, you've had one more because I've always got your back, hasn't he? That was why.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, gents, as much as I'm enjoying this podcast, we better wind it up here. Hey, all that's left to do, Gilly, is for you to do the toast. I've got a feeling I might know who that's going to be for today.
Do you really? Mm-hmm. Right. Because I don't know yet. But I'll.
Okay.
Here we go. Little pour there. The appropriate drops in there. My simple toast, look, the obvious one would be to Ravichandra and Ashwin, but I'm going to go to the Churches of Horny. Well done, Horn Church. Congratulations.
Well done, the Hornies. Well done, the Churches.
Very, very good.
Well done, the team to lift a trophy. Well done.
Well done. Safe travels, Horny.
Well done. Thank you. See you.
Guys, if you do want to follow us on socials, we are at Club Prairie Fire on everything, Twitter, X, YouTube, and a lot. Or if you would like to sponsor us, we are looking for sponsors. Send us an email, clubprairiefire@gmail.com. All right, folks. Adios.
Adios. 'If you liked the video, well, first of all, thanks for watching. But if you liked it, give us a like or hit the button below to subscribe. That'd be great.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CANeighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CANeighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.